today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Blessed be the name of the Lord. You don't have to be clever at this time of year to notice it, and you can kind of feel it in the air. I mean, the cultural surroundings at Christmas time, they are emphasizing merriment and joy. There are decorations everywhere. There are lights and trees. There's a new Star Wars movie out there going on this season. Most people get a bit of time off work. Kids get some time away from school. There are special events. There are Christmas presentations. There are festivities. There are gift exchanges. There's surprises happening. Feasting. Praise the Lord for feasting. And sometimes we travel a little bit to link up with friends and family members. And there's merry music. And so I was in the shopping mall just recently, and I caught myself humming that tune. It was being piped in through the store. I was going to sing it, but I thought I'll just spare you from that. So in our culture, it is obviously the time for us to emphasize celebration and fun and merriment, but it's not joyful for everyone, is it? Matter of fact, just a couple of hours ago, I was in my car on Old Church Road, thought I'd pay a visit to somebody and wish them a Merry Christmas. And there were the Christmas lights whirling on top of the police car who had pulled a guy over. And just as I drove by him, he was slamming his fist into the steering wheel. Ah! It was as though he was saying, "You know, Merry Christmas to you too, officer." Not so happy. I talked to somebody last week, and I asked the typical question this time of year, "Are you ready?" And she said to me, and she's not really a Scroogey type person, but she said, "You know what, to be really, really honest, I'm just up to here right now, and I just hate Christmas." And she said it as though she was really like therapeutically purging her soul as she spoke those words. I talked to a friend who was planning on coming tomorrow to the Christmas dinner that my wife and I are hosting along with some other brothers and sisters here at the church. And she was asking to bring her friend. She has a friend with 6 children, and her friend has told her that she's very, very lonely at Christmas time as a single mom with all those kids. Of course, professional health care providers tell us that there is a rise of counselees who are experiencing the blues and depression at Christmas time. And the hospitals remind us that there is an increase in the incidences of suicide and suicide attempts at Christmas time. I was reading a post from Psychology Today on Christmas blues and depression. And while I could take and leave the remedy that's offered, I found the diagnosis very, very relevant. "Why is the Grinch in full force during the Christmas season?" asks the writer. "Mainly because we are prone towards unrealistic expectations and excessive self-reflection. It can be depressing when we cannot have the perfect Christmas experience, however we might conceive that experience. All the rising expectations can't be met," he says. The circumstantial happiness expected is like chasing after the wind. Can't grasp it. And at the same time, he says, there's an excessive self-reflection that leads people to look inward, maybe comparing our now with some great memory from the past, or comparing ourselves with others and maybe what they're doing or where they're at in life right at this time, or maybe becoming absorbed in what we don't have instead of what we do have. And when unrealized expectations mix together with excessive self-reflection, then we've got a recipe for everything from the blues of discouragement to the desperation of depression. So, 'tis the season to be jolly is not everybody's experience at Christmas time, to be quite frank. All the joy that we may experience this time of year is circumstantial. It may be temporary joy. It doesn't last very long. It might just simply last as long as your Christmas tree might last, when eventually you will kick it to the curb and garbage truck will pick it up and take it to its burial ground. And would you stop and think about it for a moment? The good feelings that maybe you have been feeling, that you are feeling, that you will feel tomorrow, are those Christmas feelings of joy going to be yours to experience 3-4 weeks from now, let's say 3 p.m. on Thursday, January the 21st? What's the nature of your merriment at this Christmas time? Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me tonight. I'm not here in order to kind of, you know, bash all the trappings of Christmas. I got to be honest with you and confess that I do enjoy them, and especially enjoy other people enjoying them. I think that's the way I'm wired up at Christmas time, at least these days at my age. I like to say to people that I'm the last one to pick a bone with Christmas, unless it's the leg of the turkey, you know, off the bird. But if the depth of your joy at Christmas time is to experience only the cultural trappings, then that joy won't last. It won't be sustainable. And so we remind ourselves that real Christmas joy doesn't come from the perfect sentimental memory. Real Christmas joy doesn't come from a Hallmark moment of ours, but from the person of Christmas, who is embedded in the biblical account that we read in Luke chapter 2. We were reading about a Roman census. The emperor of the day, Caesar Augustus, for tax purposes, issued an edict that everybody had to go back to their hometown. And so this is what brought Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem, the home of their lineage. And there the baby was born. And then this angel appears to the shepherds. They're out there underneath the stars on the hillside. And in verse 10 of Luke 2, the angel says, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause what? Great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." So what's the cause of the great joy? The good news, right? And what is the good news? He is the person of Christmas. Not the idyllic Hallmark moment. Not the sentimental warmth that you sometimes find depicted in those Christmas TV commercials. Not even the fun and the laughter that accompanies those family-oriented experiences at Christmas. Although that little joy may be experienced to the max when we are in relationship with the great joy giver, the person of Christmas. So who is this person? He is the Lord Jesus Christ, who was born as a Savior. These shepherds, now, they were not religious leaders. They were not the wealthy elite. They were the ordinary, unassuming blokes. They were the night shift workers. They were the blue-collar guys. They were just out there doing their job, protecting sheep from predators, whether thieves or animals. And suddenly there's this blazing, blinding light that just engulfs them. It covers them, and with squinty eyes, they're scared skinny. But God's angel does not say, I am here to freak you out. I am here to be your Debbie Downer. The angel does not say, I am here to be your judge and jury. The angel says, I come with an announcement. I announce good news of great joy, and not just for you, but for all people. This is a game-changing moment in the increment of human history. And that good news is spelled out in verse 11. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And there's no ambiguity about who this joy bringer is. Three titles just sparkle here. Savior, Messiah, and Lord. And nowhere else in all the Bible, in one text of Scripture, do you have these three titles applied to Jesus. So the cause of great joy at Christmas, or any time of the year for that matter, is to experience the deep, not the shallow, the lasting, not the fleeting, but the real joy that's found in knowing the Savior, who is Jesus the Christ, or the Messiah, the Lord. What is a Savior? Stop for a moment and ask ourselves the question. What did Luke mean when he wrote this down? Back in his day, a Savior was a deliverer, somebody who would rescue individuals who were in grave danger and could not rescue themselves. That's a Savior. Like somebody, you know, who's up there at the top of a burning building and the staircase is burning. And they have nowhere to go. They're breathing in the smoke, and they get to the window, and they're looking out the window, and help, help, danger, I'm going to die. They've only got one choice. Well, maybe two. They can jump out to their death. Or they can open up their arms with empty hands, and they can welcome the firefighter who ascends the ladder of the ladder truck in order to rescue them. That's a picture of Jesus, our Savior. That's why it's good news, because this Jesus was born to rescue you because you couldn't rescue yourself, that you could be safe. Now, here's the problem. People don't generally feel as though that they're on the top of a burning building. People don't generally feel, when they think about themselves, that there's really all that big a deal, that there's really anything majorly going on in terms of urgency or emergency. It could mean a lot of people say, well, yeah, things could be better. I mean, I could think of, you know, a couple of things maybe that I regret or I'd like to see changed, but I mean, I'm not calling 911. I'm not really in that much trouble. And we feel okay because we assume that there's no imminent peril or danger that's lurking near us. And so why would I need to be rescued? Why do I need to be delivered? I'm a free person. Well, we've already read in Matthew's account of the Christmas story, the reason why. Remember, the angel came to Joseph when Joseph, as a just man, was ready to kind of quietly divorce Mary because she's pregnant and he didn't do it, and what's up with this? And the angel comes to him. Little did he know that God, by his Spirit, had impregnated her, that she was giving a virgin birth to this baby. And the angel says, Joseph, hang in there. You will be naming this little boy, and you will call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. That's the problem. It's a sin problem. And it's a problem that's universal. The very fact that we're not aware that we need rescue, or the very fact that we don't feel as though we need rescue, that's an indication that we actually do. Because the deceptiveness and the insidiousness of sin drops a big blanket over our eyes so that we cannot see ourselves the way that God sees us. The Bible teaches that all of us are sinners by nature. And so Jesus says we are to love the Lord our God with our entire being and perfectly and consistently. And we are to love our neighbors likewise, impeccably and consistently always. And the problem is that we all do wrong and we all fail to do right. And we all think wrongly. And we all fail to think rightly. And we all speak wrongly. And we all fail to speak rightly, consistently, and perfectly all the time. This is why we deserve God's judgment. It's because of our sins, our resistance, as far as He's concerned, our rebellion against Him because we choose our own way rather than His way. He is the source of real joy. And if we refuse His joy, then we will live lives of vanity and we will rebel against Him, the God and Maker of our souls. Therefore, we need to be rescued. And this rescue is to remove the penalty of our sins, the penalty that is due us because of our sins is vanquished and canceled, just like a debt is canceled because the payment is made through the cross of Jesus. He was born into our world as a little baby, taking upon Himself human flesh. So did the Son of God, that He might live the perfect life, and in living that perfect life, He could voluntarily lay it down as a perfect sacrifice that would be satisfying to God and simultaneously would justify us and pronounce us as righteous before God. So we need Him as our Savior. This is the entry of the good news at Christmas time. We can't rescue ourselves. We need grace, unmerited favor, somebody to show us pity even though we don't deserve it, even though we deserve the opposite of it. We're in the window of the fiery building and we need that firefighter to rescue us. He is Jesus. That's why Christmas news is so joyous. It's because God sent His Son to rescue us, to save us from our sins, set us free from our sins, so that we might be adopted into God's family, so that we might receive the divine eternal inheritance that is ours to enjoy, both now and forever. I don't know how you conceive of God, but would it surprise you to know that ground zero for true joy is the happiness of God Himself? This is what the Bible teaches. This is how the Bible discloses God. God is incomparably joyful. It's His serious business to be joyful, if you will. Maybe you thought about God as though He was kind of an estranged or brooding, harsh, unconcerned being, something like that, stoic, never laughing, never joyful. But the Bible teaches that God is the happiest being in the universe. He rejoices over His creation. He sings over His people. He sees all of His promises fulfilled in a moment of time. He knows the beginning from the end, so He's eternally happy and delightful in all things that He sees and will come to pass. And He's made us for Himself. He's made us for His own joy. And we discover our real, true joy when we realize that in relationship with Him through Jesus, the joy bringer, We have salvation. We have inheritance. We have the gift of eternal life. And this just puts on new glasses and changes everything that I see and encounter. And so tonight, I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, as you enjoy the trappings of Christmas, worship God, because underneath it all, the joy bringer, your Savior, the Lord Jesus, gives you that merry spirit and opens up your heart to return thanks to Him and praise to His holy name. And if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you've never really considered yourself to be in dire straits, then I would love you to know Jesus for the first time this Christmas season. Open up your heart to receive Him as your God and Savior, the one who can rescue you, deliver you from your sin and its guilt, the one who can remove all that anxious worry that life brings its way, the one who can give you abundance and fullness of hope so that you can face the changes in life and the trials and the difficulties of life with authentic hope and with a sense of purpose and meaning, because all things work together for good to those who love God, who are the called according to His purpose. So may you know the real joy giver. May your heart be restless until you find your rest in Him. May your hearts be void of true joy until you find real joy in Jesus Christ, your Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, remind us this Christmas that You are infinitely joyful, that You enjoy all things that You have created and every good and perfect gift that comes from Your hand, and that we are made for joy. But though sin steals our joy, exchanging it with worrisome thoughts and anxious feelings and unfulfilled longings, may we choose Jesus as the real joy bringer, as the Savior, who is the Christ, the Lord. In whose name we pray. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth.